This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about the calling of God on your life. You know, here at Covenant Community Church, our mission statement is equipping people for abundant life. And that's because Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That's our heritage as believers. We're supposed to live abundant life. But understand this, you do not get abundant life just because you became a Christian. Do you know that? You will not necessarily live the abundant life just because you have accepted Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. I will tell you something. There are hundreds of thousands of people in church this morning who are not living the abundant life. You see, it takes something beyond just that first decision to follow Christ. You need to have some understanding of some things. You need to put some things into action in your life if you're going to have the abundant life. I remember when I started playing football in high school, and I joined the team, and I went out to practice, and I did all of the things that everybody on the team did. I did the side straddle hops. I did the push-up. I did the laps. I did it all. But did that mean I was going to get in the game? No. I did all of that and sat on the bench that first year. Amen. And a lot of Christians are exactly the same way. They've made that initial step into Christ, but when it comes to living the abundant life, they're still sitting on the bench. We're starting a series of sermons today, the purpose of which is to help us begin to understand some of the things we need to understand so we can put into practice in our life so that we can, in fact, live the abundant life. How many of you want to have abundant life? Amen. You want to have the abundant life. Everybody does. You want to reach heights of achievement in your life. You know why? Because God made you that way. He made you to have an impact. He made your life to mean something. When you come to the end of your days on this earth and you start looking back, what are you going to see? Are you going to see somebody who just kind of made it through? Or are you going to see somebody whose life made a difference? When they give your eulogy, it'll probably be me because you're going to go before I do. When they do the funeral, when they do the funeral, what are they going to have to say about you? Well, he made it through. Or are they going to be able to point to something that happened in your life that you caused to accomplish in the name of Jesus that made an impact and made a difference for eternity? That's what you want, isn't it? That's what you want. And so in order to have that, there's some things we need to put into practice. I want to give us two examples of having that kind of prosperous, successful life. One is a current example that we can learn something from, and one is a biblical example that we can learn a lot more from. I don't know if any of you have been following what's been happening in sports lately, but I've been following Tiger Woods and the Williams sisters. Tiger Woods in golf, the Williams sisters in tennis. They have achieved. And you know the thing that struck me about both of them? From the moment of their birth, their lives were directed by a father who had a vision, a purpose, and a focus for those kids' lives. In fact, the Williams sisters' father said, even before they were born, said he heard a report that some girl tennis player made $40,000 in a tournament. He said, that sounds like easy money to me. Our next two kids are going to be tennis players. And they were. But from the moment of their birth, he guided them. He pointed them toward a goal. He kept them focused. And Tiger Woods' dad was the same way with him. In a worldly way, what does it take to have the ultimate success in life? You've got to be focused. You've got to be dedicated. You've got to be disciplined. You've got to be intent upon your goal and not let anything distract you or get in the way. Well, understand this. The same thing applies to us as believers. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Start with verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Just like I like to use athletic examples, so did the Apostle Paul. And he uses one here, 1 Corinthians 9, 24. He says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air." Understand this, Paul says. If you're going to reach the goal, if you're going to win the race, it's going to be because you have disciplined yourself, you have focused yourself on that goal, and you don't let anything get in the way. You keep your focus. He says, "I'm not like a fighter who fights the air." Gordon, come up for a moment. Now suppose Gordon and I were in the ring, heavyweight championship of the world. Amen. Better take your glasses off. Now suppose we're in the ring, gonna fight this championship, and I say, "Would you look at him? I could beat him with one hand tied behind my back. In fact, I'll tell you what, put a blindfold on me. I'll beat him blindfolded." And so here I am, got a blindfold on, and I'm going to fight Gordon. Now, if Gordon's got any sense, he's going to keep quiet, right? He's not going to be whispering, "Here I am, here I am." And if I can't see him so that I can focus on him, how am I going to hit him? How am I going to land any blows? I can have the best looking punch in the world, but if I don't land any blows on the target, I can't win. Thank you, Gordon. We'll go to the next round next time. And so if I can't see and focus on what it is that I am aiming for, I'm going to miss it. Paul says, don't let anything distract you. You got to keep focused on the goal. You don't want to be like a fighter beating the air, just fighting aimlessly, or just running around in circles. You got to keep focused. That's the way that you're going to make it in this Christian life. Well, what is this thing? A focus. What is this thing that causes us as believers to remain focused? You know what it is? It's the calling of God on our lives. It's the calling of God on our lives. You see, God knows we need, in order to have the abundant life, we've got to have that goal. We've got to have that purpose. We've got to have that focus. And in Philippians 4:19, it says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory." Amen? That doesn't just mean food, shelter, clothing, money, and it means all those things. There is nothing that we need that God has not promised to supply. But it goes beyond those material things. It goes to the things that we need internally that we might have the abundant life. Go over to Psalm 138, verse 8. Psalm 138, 8. Here's one of my favorite verses of Scripture, because it tells us so much about how God wants to function in our lives. Psalm 138, 8. "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me." Amen? "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. That means whatever I need, whatever it is, whether it's material, whether it's spiritual, whether it's relational. I said the Lord blessed me with a wife. He did. I didn't go out and find her. Amen? In fact, I was looking in the other direction. And the Lord brought us together. That's His doing. So whatever the need is, God has said He will perfect that concerns me. Well, you know what that means? He's going to perfect in us what it takes to have abundant life if we allow Him to do it. He's going to perfect in us everything that it takes to have the abundant life that He created us to have. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Here's how He does it. 2 Peter 1, 3. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. You see, God places a call on our life. That call constitutes the goal that we are to be aimed at. That constitutes the thing that we're to be focused on throughout our lives. That constitutes the thing that we're not to be distracted from. That gives us what the Williams sisters had. That gives us what Tiger Woods has had. But at a higher level, at a spiritual level, we've got something to shoot for, the calling of God on our lives. When we are walking in the calling of God, we will have abundant life. Go over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3:12. If you want to win the race, if you want to reach the goal, if you want to have that abundant life that Christ came to give you, here's how you do it. Philippians 3:12. Paul said, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." God called you, Christ called you for a purpose. He has a purpose for your life. And Paul is saying, look, I keep pressing on in order that I might attain what Christ called me for. Look at verse 13. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." You want to have abundant life? You need to be pressing toward the goal, pressing toward the mark. And you're nearing the finish line. And there's two of you coming to the finish line. What do? You strain forward to get your nose across the finish line before the other guy does. That's what that word signifies. And that's the way that we're to be living, pressing toward the goal, giving it everything we've got, focused on it, intent on it. When you're out there running that race, the 100 meters, how many of you ever ran track? All right, got some good track runners here. Amen. I watched it one time. Now, when you're out there on the track, how many of you are thinking about that pizza you're going to have when you finish this race? How many of you are thinking about that? How many of you are thinking about, you know, the movie that you're going to go to? No, you are focused. If you're going to win, you've got to be focused. In fact, your coaches will tell me if I'm right, you don't even look back to see where the other guy is. Why? You've got to keep your focus. Keep moving forward. Keep pressing forward. That's what Paul is saying. He says, this is what you're called to. The upward call of Christ Jesus. That's the goal. To fulfill that upward call of Christ Jesus in your life. That's what you got to stay focused on. And when you stay focused on that, you're going to win. You know what the wonderful thing is? Paul said, you got to look at it as if only one can win. You're in a race and there can only be one winner and you're determined, I'm going to be the one. Nobody's going to beat me out. But you know what the wonderful thing is? Gordon can win his race. And I can win mine, and you can win yours. Hallelujah. We're not in competition with one another. We each have our own race to win. And we can all be the winner if we keep focused on the goal. Keep moving forward to where we're called to move. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. I beseech you to walk worthy of that calling. You know what that means? To have abundant life, you've got to organize your whole existence around that call. You can't afford to be distracted. You can't afford to be letting other things happen in your life that take you away from fulfilling that calling. Look at Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are what? The called according to His purpose. You see, here's the deal. The calling is not our calling. It's a calling on my life. But guess what? It's God's. According to His purpose. We got to keep our eye on the purpose for which God called us. Now, I have to tell you, I messed up yesterday. Nobody's looking surprised. I messed up yesterday. I took my eye off my calling. Many of you know that I come from an engineering background, electrical engineering, and I'm into computers. Love to do computer programs and stuff like that. And we have some letters that we need to get out, and I wanted to make it easier to get this done. So I spent yesterday afternoon working on a computer program to get this thing done. Why? That's where I come from. Love it. Love it. And when I get it finished, it will make it easier. The only problem was I needed to get this done yesterday, and I spent all day working on this program. Those letters still are not done. Now, what happened? I took my eye off my calling. You see, when I was an engineer, working on computer programs was part of my calling. That was fine. I'm not an engineer anymore. That's not my calling. That's not God's purpose in my life. I could have sat down, done what I needed to do in an hour, and got that stuff out. Instead, I said, you know, the next 100 times we do this, it's going to be so easy because of this program. And forgetting that today, I need to get it done now. I took my eye off the calling. You see how it works? The devil can so easily distract us from what we need to be doing when we stop looking at God's purpose for our lives. What has God called us to? What's His purpose for us right now? What is it that God has placed us here to be doing? How many of you work? You go to a job. Amen? How many of you really feel that your job is consecrated and hallowed when you go there? I don't see any hands. Amen. Now catch this. How many of you believe it's an accident that you work where you work with the people you work with? If you're a Christian, how many of you believe it's an accident that when you took that job, God was asleep, didn't realize what you were doing, or else He would have sent you an email that said, no, don't take that one, I got another one for you. How many of you believe that God is in you being where you are? Amen? Now, if you don't believe that, you need to turn in your resignation. Amen? Understand this. God has a purpose for you where you work tomorrow. And you're saying in your mind right now, but you don't know my boss. You're right. Hallelujah. I don't know your boss. But God does. Amen? But you don't know this guy that works next to me. You haven't heard his foul mouth. You don't hear the kind of dirty stories he tells all day. No. But God heard. Amen. God knew about it before you ever got on that job. Why? God had a purpose for you. Your purpose is not just to be there and suffer. God has a purpose for you to be there as the representative of Jesus Christ. If you will keep your eye on the purpose, keep your eye on your calling, which there are many callings that we have, and we're going to talk about the different callings that we have in life. But if you're a believer, there's one calling you know you've got. You're to be standing up for Jesus. You're to be a witness for Him. You're to be ever ready to give a reason for the hope that's within you. And so if nothing else, you know God has you there in order to represent Him. To represent His presence, to be a point of contact for people in that situation who may never see any other representation of Jesus Christ than what they see in you. See, God has a purpose, amen? Need to keep your eye on the purpose. Keep your eye on what the goal is. Don't get distracted into other things. Things that will look good to you. Things that you will be comfortable with. I'm very comfortable when I'm sitting there programming the computer. But that's not my goal right now. That's not my purpose. That's not my function. You know, in the Greek language, the word call is kaleo. That's in the New Testament Greek. And there's a word that's derived from that, ekklesia. Anybody know what that is? That's the church. And you could call the church those who have been called out by God. There's not one of us here today, if you're a believer in Christ, who does not have a calling on your life. Well, let's look at our second example to see how this calling operates. Look at Hebrews 11:8. Hebrews 11:8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham obeyed when he was called and went where God told him to go. Now, Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Look what God did in Abraham's life. He said, Abraham, you're going to have to leave your previous life. You're going to have to walk away from the way you used to live and the people that you used to live among. You're going to have to go to an entirely new level in your life. That's what God's call will do. God's call always calls us away from the old and establishes us in the new. Amen? You cannot be walking in God's call if you are still living the way you used to live. You're missing the call. I am called to be Priscilla's husband. That's one of the callings God has placed on my life. Now, before we got married, I used to have other girlfriends. Amen? Now, guess what? I'm not called to that anymore. Amen. Amen. You see, that's my previous life. There was a time when I was free to go out with anybody I wanted to go out with. I'm not called to that anymore. I had to put that behind me. God called me away from that in order that he might fulfill my life with his calling to be her husband. See, I couldn't have one without the other. Now, some people try. Isn't that right? Some people try. They get married, and they still want to try to hang on to some of that old way. How does that work? Does that work out? No. Everybody okay with that? No. No, no, no. If you're called to be somebody's husband, called to be somebody's wife, of necessity, for that call to produce its benefits in your life, you've got to leave behind the old way. God called Abraham. He said, come out from your family. Come out from your surroundings. Come out from the situation you've been in and go to a new place. Many of you know that when people get caught up into drugs and they go into some kind of treatment, the most dangerous thing that happens to people is they go through the treatment program successfully and then go back exactly into the situation that they came out of. And it's just as if they'd never gone through the treatment program. You see, you got to come away from what you used to be. Come away from the way you used to live. God's call will always draw you away. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verses 17 and 18. Understand this. If you're a believer, this is part of God's call on your life. You can't really have one without the other. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That's God's call. Amen? He says you got to leave behind the old stuff. Come out from among them. Be separate. Don't even touch what's unclean. I can't go calling up old girlfriends and say, well, you know, I just want to talk. I don't even touch the unclean thing. Leave it behind. That's God's call on our life. Genesis 12:1. Let's look at some things here. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Understand, God says, as you go, I'll show you. He does not lay out a roadmap. You don't know where God's going to take you once you accept his call. You don't know. People often ask me, how did you know that God had called you to be a minister? And I can't tell you. There was no handwriting on the wall. Nobody came up to me and said, thus saith the Lord, my son, you are going to leave your job and become a preacher. Nobody said that to me. But as I began to follow him step by step by step, you know what happened? At each step, God moved me ahead to the next step. I didn't know where it was going. I really didn't. Even when I took a leave of absence from IBM and went to seminary, I did not know what was going to happen. I was not planning to become a pastor. All I knew is God had called me to teach his word. I wanted to be better equipped to teach his word. So I went to seminary. That was the next step. And when I got through with seminary, I went back to work for a year at IBM. Because God hadn't opened another door for me yet. But then I got here and I started being involved in teaching the word, teaching Bible classes and Sunday school and all those kinds of things. And it began to grow and grow and grow. And step by step, I began to see where God was taking me. You see, he didn't lay it out for me. He didn't give me the whole plan at one time. I had to be obedient at each step. And if I had ever stopped and said, well, Lord, I'm not going any further until you show me where this thing's going to end up. You know what? I'd be stuck right there. Stuck right there. I had to take it step by step by step. And here's the final thing. When we do all that, you know what the wonderful thing is? Go back to Genesis chapter 12, 2 and 3. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In other words, Abraham, if you'll just keep your eye on the goal, fulfill the call, I'm going to bless you. And that blessing is not just for Abraham. Amen? Amen. That blessing's for us. Hallelujah. Abundant life. The kind of life that Christ came and died that we might have. That's the reward when we keep our eye on the goal.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcomchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.